Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Osama bin Laden was killed by Navy SEALs yesterday. I'd like to talk through that operation and things that you get here at Bob Enyart Live that you don't always get at other, even conservative shows, Christian shows, and from the media in general. Of course, I'd like to talk about the justice of killing him. Some people will say that it's unjust. I'd also like to talk about things that you do get at other media outlets, like how the Navy SEALs team killed bin Laden and what to make of Barack Obama being the one who killed him. What to make of that he gave the order to go ahead and kill him, and to do so not with the Predator drones or not with guided missiles, but with a team of special forces. Of course, if that would have gone badly, Obama would have taken the blame for that. So what to make of all that? And I'd like to go back about 10 years ago and look at the Muslim world's love of Osama bin Laden. Not the entire Muslim world, of course. Not the entire group of any group believes the exact same things, but a fraction of the Muslim world, a large enough fraction, supported bin Laden or loved bin Laden to include hundreds of millions of Muslims who approved of Osama bin Laden at various levels. His positive identification, they used facial recognition software, but of course the best software available for facial recognition is in the human mind, And so the Navy SEALs who were there, they identified him. That's the best facial recognition software we have that God put in our minds. And then we also use the second best software, computer software, to do the same thing. And then DNA identification to follow. Apparently others in the compound also identified him directly or indirectly. His burial, we could talk about his burial at sea, that prevents his grave site from becoming a rallying point, right? So Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Now, Muslims don't eat pork, and I'd say that any of them who revered Osama bin Laden, now they should avoid eating fish too, I'd say. Osama bin Laden was killed on the day that the Taliban launched their spring offensive in Afghanistan. That's pretty good. It's like an NFL playoff game with a visiting team getting a touchdown on their first play. You know, you take the sidelines out of the equation for a while. American Black Hawk helicopters transported more than 20 Navy SEALs, special forces. The media has reported that this was done by the Navy SEALs Team 6, and I would think to avoid giving Islamic extremists specific targets, we would not make public the names of the individual special forces involved in the kill. The CIA, the Central Intelligence Administration, they identified Osama's compound by tracking a courier whose identity surfaced back in 2005 at Guantanamo Bay, at the terrorist holding camp in Cuba. And thankfully, Obama never closed Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, as he said he would. And just like he's continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he even opened a new front in Libya, where he's begun bombing Muslims in a third nation now. I think Obama has maybe killed more people than any other Nobel Peace Prize winner. Seems like it. Yes? No? Well, I think he's now killed more people than Yasser Arafat ever did. One of the fathers of modern terrorism, he won the Nobel Peace Prize a while ago. And if I recall, Obama started killing people with Predator drone strikes almost immediately after taking the oath of office. At least that's one of the first headlines from the Obama administration, generated by the Obama administration, are jihadists who he killed with predators. According to the U.S. government, the terror suspects at Guantanamo Bay provided the courier's nickname, and they said he was a protege of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Remember the Bad Hair Day terrorist arrested in Pakistan? And also the mastermind of the September 11th attack. But the CIA then, they didn't figure out the courier's name. They had his nickname in 2005. They didn't figure out the courier's name until 2007. Then it took two more years to find him once they had his name. Then they tracked him back to this compound in 2010. So it's quite an operation. To prepare for the mission, the SEALs stormed a mock compound created by our forces to look like the one that Osama bin Laden was living in Pakistan. 22 people were injured or killed or captured or killed. Reports vary in the 40-minute operation, including bodyguards who were killed and one of Osama bin Laden's sons. So I believe that these are good things that have happened, but it's got to be shocking to many liberals. I mean, President Obama has killed Muammar Gaddafi's son. Remember that just a few days ago? Saif al-Arab was his name. And now Osama bin Laden's son, both within a few days of each other. We don't know which of Osama's sons had been killed, was killed yesterday, but he has a son, Hamza, H-A-M-Z-A, who is a senior member of Al-Qaeda. And so we might learn whether or not he's one of those who were killed. Officials also said that one woman was killed when she was used as a shield by a male combatant, and that two other women were injured. So more on this, of course, may surface. Osama and his bodyguards, they resisted, and that makes this an even better operation. There's something uncouth, not immoral, but uncouth, impolite, about a Navy SEAL up close and personal killing a guy who's in bed sleeping. That just doesn't, it's just impolite. But Osama bin Laden knew we were coming. And I say we, I wasn't there, but knew we were coming because I'm proud that American Special Forces went deep into Pakistan and killed the world's number one terrorist leader. By the way, not only was he on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, he was put on that list 2 years before 9/11, 2 years before, because remember he bombed two of our embassies in Africa, the one in Kenya and the other in Tanzania. So now Osama bin Laden is no longer the number one. He's no longer number one on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He's off the list. He graduated. But now the number two guy at Al-Qaeda is now number one on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list, and that's Ayman al-Zawahiri. So Zawahiri is now number one, and you don't want to be in that slot, but that's where he is. So they resisted, and I think that was good. That's a good way for him to die. By the way, Denver Bible Church has abruptly canceled our church building fund fundraiser. We had dads formed a team to go out and either capture or kill Osama bin Laden and get the $25 million reward. But now we missed the opportunity. So Denver Bible Church abruptly canceled our building fundraiser, but hey, there will be more opportunities in the future. So Osama bin Laden, he wasn't asleep in bed. He knew we were coming, right? For 10 years, he knew that. And he knew when we got there because the SEALs came in by helicopter. And he was shot in the head. So this was a good thing. Remember, I want to say something about CNN. Remember 2 weeks ago when there was debate about whether or not to shut down the government? And of course, that was the bureaucratic arms of the government that would not have closed down the military. But at the time, after hearing a segment of news on the cable news network, I said that only CNN could report the possible shutdown of the IRS as bad news. Only CNN could do that. Everybody else would celebrate. So from the Only on CNN file, last night they reported from Osama's perspective that, well, bin Laden went down as he wanted to do. He went down fighting with a rifle in his hand. Come on. Only on CNN, right? Only on CNN would they report even the demise of bin Laden in a positive light for his followers, sort of keep alive the hero perspective. Of course, they didn't mention what Osama bin Laden learned a moment after he was shot in the head. They said he went down like he wanted to. But what did he learn the moment after he was shot in the head? Well, the first thing he found out after he was killed was that there were not 70 virgins there to greet him. That was the very first thing, right off the bat. There were not 60 virgins to greet him. There were not 40 virgins to greet him. There were not 20 virgins to greet him. There were not 10 virgins to greet him. There wasn't a single virgin to greet him, not one. Now, his death and Adolf Hitler's death were both announced on May 1st. So they share that anniversary. They shared a hatred of the Jews. And they both died after picking a fight with the U.S. Remember, Germany declared war on us just after Pearl Harbor. And their deaths were both announced on May 1st. So while bin Laden was not greeted by any virgins, after all, even Hitler was married, right, to Eva Braun. Well, yeah, just 2 days before they killed themselves in that bunker. But so if he wanted to be met by a virgin, Hitler wouldn't have qualified. He might have met Yasser Arafat, one of the fathers of modern terrorism. And perhaps he was met by Muhammad himself. Muhammad may have met him there also, along with Hitler and Arafat. But Muhammad, he definitely was not a virgin. Definitely not. Right? Although he may have ruined 70 or so virgins while on earth. After all, even the Quran tells the story of Muhammad giving an oath. Remember in the Quran, I've got two Qurans right near me here. In the Quran, there's an account of Muhammad giving an oath to his wives and his main wife that he would not touch this one young girl in his household, their Coptic slave girl. And he promised he wouldn't touch her. And then he couldn't control himself. He wanted her sexually. So he went to his wives and he told his main wife, what was her name? Aisha. He said, look, Allah told me that I can have what I want and you better stop complaining or you're going to end up burning in hell. That's what he told his wife because he wanted to break his promise and go after this young slave girl. That's Muhammad. And that's in the Quran. Now, the Quran, you know, tries to present it in more of a flowery way, but that's the story in the Quran. So if Osama bin Laden was expecting to meet virgins in death, all he may have met were a bunch of like-minded non-virgins, like Hitler, Arafat, and Muhammad. That's maybe who he met. Oh, and by the way, What did the women get? You know, the women suicide bombers? What did they get? If the men, the male jihadists, if they were promised they would get 70 virgins, what would the female Islamic suicide bombers get? What did they get? Now, that question, in the last 10 years, that's only been answered one place, right here on Bob and Yurt Live. It's the only place it was answered. And what they get, it turns out, that they would get to opt out of being one of the 70 virgins. That's it. That was their only reward for killing themselves. They could opt out of the whole deal. So that explains that. So we have, regarding justice, there are many Christians that confuse man-made rules and agreement with justice. And there's fundamental justice based on eternal principles of right and wrong, by which God will judge the world and every man and woman in it, and every government official, the nations. And so then human beings, they make all kinds of agreements. Even in organized crime, they make agreements, right? All right, you do this for me, and then I'll give you this much money. And you don't do that, and I'll guarantee you we won't do this. These are like side agreements, because the main agreement is between God and man. And God says, do it this way, otherwise you will be punished. If you kill the innocent, if you destroy a family, you ruin a child, you hurt others, you will be punished unless you repent and ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was raised from the dead for you, but otherwise you will be punished. That's the one big agreement that we should all look to and understand. That's the one you can't get out of. Now, the side agreements that men make, whether they're contracts or constitutions, right? There are hundreds of nations, and there have been thousands of countries and nations and tribes and so on throughout history, and they all have their rules. But their rules are like a side agreement. They're not ultimately the principles upon which men will be judged. They're just temporary, and they're like a snapshot in history. That's what they are. And so I have a lot of Christian friends who confuse that, and they think when they're trying to decide whether or not something was right or wrong, they try to decide whether it's right or wrong based on some of these side rules. And that's just confused thinking. For example, I've got friends who are good friends that I love, Christian guys and gals, who think that you determine if something is right or wrong based on the Constitution. You find out if a military operation is right or wrong. How could that possibly be? How could it possibly be? And they say they're fond of saying that this is an unconstitutional war because Congress has the authority to declare war and Congress has not declared war. They say that all the time. And even that argument, even that seems to me so superficial and so shallow, I don't understand why they say it all the time. Now, it's true that the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8, says that Congress shall have power to declare war. That's true. But notice it doesn't even say that only Congress can declare war. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that Congress must declare war, nor does it say what the form of that declaration should be. And so my good Christian friends who are mad at us because of the Iraq war, in fact, I debated one some years ago. It's a classic BEL show. You might want to look it up on our website at kgov.com, but it was my debate with John Lofton. And it was really fun. He's with the Institute on the Constitution. That's not a surprise, right? And so some of my friends will say, well, the Iraq war is unconstitutional because Congress did not pass a declaration of war. Now, again, the Constitution doesn't say that they must. Of course, in the case of Iraq, they did pass a resolution, if you recall, back in 2002. And it was a resolution. It wasn't a declaration of war, but it was a resolution authorizing military force against Iraq. But some people even sued the government, including Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and others, because we went to war and they said there was no declaration of war. And that went through the courts and it got up to some federal court of appeals. And they said, look, the Constitution doesn't say how Congress has to do this. And so they dismissed the lawsuit. And by the way, that's what the Constitution says, right? When there's a dispute, you go to the judicial branch to determine, what decision everybody needs to abide by. And so the Constitution was an agreement between states in the forming of a federal government with three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. And when you have an agreement between parties, and then those parties don't care if you're really abiding by the agreement, then what? If you have a contract with somebody and it says you have to work 20 hours a week and they pay you $10 an hour, but then over time they don't really care if you work that much and you don't really care, and pretty soon it changes, and then you work when you feel like it and the other person doesn't care, was the agreement violated if both parties don't care? When all the parties don't care, it's not really violated because the parties don't care. And so that's what's going on. If Congress yields authority to the executive and the executive goes to war in Afghanistan or Libya, and Congress has not passed a declaration of war, that doesn't mean that this is a moral issue and that we're therefore doing something wicked. On Judgment Day, God is not going to bring up the U.S. Constitution and start judging people on their faithfulness to the original intent of the framers. He's not going to do that. He's not going to bring up hundreds of constitutions all over the world and judge all these governing officials based on whether they followed their own rules. He's going to judge them all on whether they followed his rules. Does that make sense or no? Because so many Christians have been seduced into this quasi-religious commitment to man-made agreements, almost as though they think that the founding fathers were the prophets and the apostles, and the Constitution is found in the book of Acts, chapter 15. It's not. That's why Article 1 says that you can count most blacks as 3/5 of a person, and you could tax the importation of slaves and all the other things that the Constitution says that have turned out to be a colossal failure. And so we get really, really confused. And then you have millions of Christians talking about their First Amendment right. Wow, I thought our rights came from God. Your right to free speech is your God-given right. It's not your First Amendment right. And every time you say that it is, you're teaching the public that our rights come from the government, and you're undermining the very stability you're hoping to find for Christian families in America. And they speak of their Second Amendment right. They can't even talk about their right to self-defense and their right to keep and carry arms without saying that it comes from the Constitution. They can't even say it. It can't leave their lips. They can't do it. Because we conservative Christians have been seduced by very poor Christian curriculum, homeschool curriculum. I love homeschooling. I love Christian education. I love the Christian publishers. But their civics, American history subjects are almost atrocious in how they confuse people and switch the loyalty of Christians from God and his principles to man-made rules and laws and agreements and side deals. And so they can't even think about whether it's right or wrong to kill Osama bin Laden without thinking, well, what does the Constitution say about it? And of course, it is right by the authority granted to not only individuals, but to governments to use lethal force in different circumstances. With individuals, it has to be when there's imminent and irreversible threat of harm. Then you could use lethal force and kill someone. God has granted to governments a greater latitude in using lethal force to kill people. And in this case, to kill someone who has attacked America and has vowed to continue to attack and kill American men, women, and children. And so it is an operation by a nation of defense of itself and its people. And guess what? Even wicked nations like the Roman Empire, even they have the right to bring to justice murderers and kidnappers. So somebody said, well, our country is evil. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much every country throughout history, except for small bits of history when there were monarchs who happened to humble themselves before God. Other than that, governments have been evil. Hey, we're out of time. Check out kgov.com. May God bless you.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
You can support the ministry of Bob Enyart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.